Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother Canada 9 Roundtable Podcast. I'm your host, Tern Armstrong, and we are here to talk about everything that has been going on the feeds. With me this week, of course, is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to rate these house guests, mainly because I've given up at this point with the stopwatch. I just think it's never going to happen for me, and I just need to give it up and just like let it be, because I will have you know that the only time I did well in the stopwatch was when I forgot to do it. So I feel like that's a sign that I should just give it up and let the chips fall where they may and just forget about it. And, you know, maybe I'll win then.
Just put everything in on one player and just leave it there. Just don't touch
it. Just don't touch it. Even if they are about to get evicted, just leave it.
All right. Well, also joining us this week is Aman. How you doing, Aman?
I'm great. I mean, I heard through the grapevine that people were a little anxious about my ratings. I mean, I don't know why. I'm just, you know, I'm seeing the same stuff that y'all are seeing. So, I mean, I feel like it's a pretty straightforward week. I hope I don't mess up anybody's stuff too badly. I mean, and if I do, I don't really care.
Well, so I hope I do mess up people's stuff badly, because they should be worried about my ratings.
I hope everyone gets messed up too, because then, like, because of that, I won't be as bad. So yeah, I'm fine with that. Let's just go crazy.
This house is capped. There's a ceiling to the ratings. My opinion. All right. We are here to, as I said, talk about everything from the feeds this week. We will recap what's been going on in the house, where we are now, the state of the house, and then we are going to go through each player individually, talk about their game, and give them a rating out of 10 so that we can see what we think. How are they doing? How are they doing as players? I also polled the audience, let you guys in and have a say here, so you guys have rated the players as well. And then we'll update the stockwatch prices, the fun little game we play, and see what that does to everyone's imaginary Big Brother portfolio. So let's get into it. Aman, how has this week been for you here in the Big Brother Canada 9 world?
It's been interesting. I mean, I feel like all of the momentum that we had coming off of Victoria's whirlwind HOH is sort of deflated. Part of that is because of the fact that the two people on the block really aren't doing a lot to save themselves. And also because of the fact that feeds have just been on, then off, then on, then off, then off, then on, then off, then on, then on and off again. Like, it's just, you just never really know what the hell is going to happen. So, I mean, I'm still having fun with this season. I still think it's a great season. But yeah, this week has sort of been a little simmery. So I'm expecting for things to pick back up next time. It seems like we need another Victoria HOH even. I don't know.
I think it's hard to gain momentum when you're watching the feeds and they go on and off. It's just like, it kind of takes you out of it and kind of makes you like, okay, well, where did we even leave off? I don't know. And it kind of ruins it, because everything about the feeds is like, you want to see everything that happens. And there are some moments where like important things could have been happening and we would have no idea. And that's kind of the frustrating thing. And I've always been kind of like, I don't know. I guess I've always been a little like, when it comes to the feeds being on and off, but I can see it really affecting your enjoyment of viewing it. Yeah. Like, I guess like it really affects it. And so it's not fun, because you're like, wait, did I miss something, or were the feeds just off? Like, is no one talking because like nothing's happening, or are they off, or like what's going on?
There will be times where I'm not even like really focused on the feeds, because I'm doing something else throughout the day. And then I'll get a feeds bot notification saying, the feeds are back. It's been down for 9 hours. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Well, I'm glad that I spent my time doing other things. So yeah, I've seen a lot of conversation online over the past couple of days about the majesty of Big Brother Canada 2, because apparently those feeds were absolutely crazy. Like, we got to see almost everything, and people are like really pining for it this season, because this is a great season. So we want to be able to stay engaged all the time and keep our finger on the pulse at all times. So sometimes when you have these big outages, it's sort of, yeah, like Melissa said, it just, you know, it just takes you out of it, but it's still a good time. still a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't perfect back in Big Brother Canada too, but they did leave. They did at least leave feeds on for like so the challenges and stuff. They wouldn't.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't feeding back then.
Yeah, but
I wasn't even watching Big Brother Canada back then. I literally came like the next season, or I guess it was like right after Big Brother Canada 2, and everybody was talking about it, and I was like, you know, maybe I should try watching international stuff. Like I've only watched, you know, the US, and I was like, maybe I should start watching it because everyone was talking about how amazing it was. And so I went back and watched Big Brother Canada 2, and I was like, oh, okay. Yes, yes, yes. I see it.
Yes. Well, I mean, the week on the feeds here was incomprehensible as it was, right? Like we have two sides of the house, but they don't want to admit that they're sides of the house, and they're really just a bunch of pairs, and they're all just kind of, you know, BSing each other and running back and forth in circles, and they keep changing their target every hour. And it's really like add on top of that, you know, chunks of time are just getting cut out of the day, like left and right. And mm-hmm. you really do just you get to a point where you're like, just wait until the end of the week. So then,
exactly. Exactly where I'm at. I mean, they cut the feeds yesterday. Apparently they gave them booze and they had a party. And I'm like, okay, well, these people are messy. This is the perfect time for the game to really change and get flipped on its head. But we don't get to see any of it because, you know, they're afraid of what people might say on the feeds while they're drunk. And I'm like, well, I mean, then those people know what's coming to them. If they, like, look, at the end of the day, you have cast a bunch of adults that know that they're adults, so the things that come out of their mouths, they need to be held accountable for them if they say something messed up. But like, I feel like there really is no point in just cutting the feeds for so long each and every time that we get something like this, because then it's just, when if something does happen, like today, for instance, where there's a possibility of a flip, we're not going to understand how everything happened, and we're going to have mm-hmm. to rely on the TV edit, which has been kind of better this year. I mean, I'll give them that. Big Brother Canada Season 9 has been a lot better with editing their episodes, so not to say that we won't get the truth of what actually happens, but, you know, you want to be able to see the minutiae of it all so that you can really understand, so that you can rate accordingly.
No, it does seem kind of like it's like, oh, okay, there might be a flip now. I don't know where that came from, or like something that happened off feeds was the cause of it, or what's going on. So like, I guess I'll just wait till the eviction and we'll just see who goes. Like, it kind of mm-hmm. like makes you lose interest in, I don't know, I guess like the enjoyment that I find in feeds is seeing how it, following the storyline of how it changes throughout the week. Like, you know, oh, it's going to be this person. Oh, but he convinced him to talk to her and da da da. And that, and kind of following that trail. And then all of a sudden the eviction mm-hmm. comes, and that's where it all culminates. But when the feeds are off and on and off and on, it's like conversations are lost, moments are gone, like that you don't know what happened. It's not like you can go back and rewind and be like, oh, okay, so that's how this happened. It mm-hmm. just, you kind yep. of just lose it.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but that's what our job is for. We're here to give you guys, this is the end of the week podcast that you listen to go, okay, what's happened this week, guys?
What the heck is going on?
I mean, can you imagine this season without Taryn? I mean, people are already like losing their minds because of the fact that Big Brother Canada or Big Brother Daily, the Twitter account, doesn't do it for Canada anymore, because they have since been like, oh no, screw that. They're gonna cut these feeds. I'm not dealing with this. And then that one account that does it for Reality Recaps, which, no shade to Reality Recaps, we love Reality Recaps over here, but sometimes that exactly accurate, like we get names mixed up and everything, so it's just like, where do you go for the correct information? So I can't even imagine what it would be like if Taryn was not doing his updates, because we'd all just be lost in the sauce, but we're here.
Lost in the sauce. Is that Kiefer sauce, the ice cream?
Oh, I hope not. Oh, I should have to take it back there. No.
Oh boy.
All right. Well, let's talk about this week. Let's recap what's gone on here on the feeds. The last time we spoke, Toya was on the block up against Kiefer. It was headed for a blindside. The blindside went through. Toya was evicted. They did not. I mean, it's semantics to say, did they see it coming? Like, yeah, they saw the option. They saw the possibility. But they did not think it was going to happen. And so, it blindside it was. However, Operation Blame Beth failed pretty miserably, as we saw in the episode, as the story was utterly ridiculous and the call out was a complete failure.
Yeah, I was going to say that when you guys said on the update that Victoria is like the Zach Rance of this season, at first I was like, absolutely not. I don't see that at all. And then I was like, oh my God. And it's like swirling around my head. I'm just like, oh my God, it all makes sense. She is the Zach Rance of this season. It's just like Zach would do all this stuff that was entertaining, but it was always so bad for his game. It was like, I'm going to call her out. I'm going to do this and that. And it's like, well, that's fun to watch and entertaining, but like, why though? Like, you don't need to do that. And it was just like, and then he'd constantly be like, yeah, I'm the best player. I'm so good. I'm amazing. And I just feel like it all clicked when you guys said that, because she is totally the Zach Rance of this season. It's all about just like making big moves and making drama and making things happen, but never like in a good strategic way for herself. It's uncanny.
I could definitely hear Victoria calling someone a Fruit Loop Dingus.
I could see it. And walking around in HOH robe, like, you know, queen of the castle.
I take just a small issue with this comparison, only because at least when Zach did it, it was much more like out there and in your face. There was so much energy. But like when he was calling out Devin and then Devin really didn't have anything to say, he was like, all right, Devin, what's your response to everything that I just said? Like, Victoria doesn't really do that. Victoria's kind of like, yeah, Beth, you lied. Yeah. Are you not going to say anything? All right. Well, sorry, guys. I'm going to go take a bath. It's like, no, like if you're going to go there, then go all the way. So definitely Zach Rance tendencies. But for me to be like really entertained, I need you to like badger Beth to death.
Are you saying Zach Rance light?
Yeah. Are you saying that Zach Rance has more spice than Spicy B?
Than Spicy B.
I think so. I think if there's a pepper scale, you know, for like hot wings or whatever, he's definitely like one of the red ones, and she's more of like an orange.
Grab a tall glass of milk, Canada.
Yeah. all right. Well, so that was Vic's attempt at blaming Beth that we saw in the episode. We're then going to see that Kiefer will win the HOH after. Can we even really call this a deal? If it's like frantic whispering of like, hey, are we good? We see if you're good, if I'm good. So yeah, what do you think?
I know, right? We were all speculating that it was like an actual, like, you know, art of the deal had went down, but no, it was just a little quick little thing there.
Yeah, this you need to get like a handshake. You need to get like get a pen, maybe a Q-tip with some mustard if you need to.
A whole thing,
and then you know, sign your name. You can't just be like, hey, we good?
Is protect. Like a deal in a crapshoot competition is not necessarily like the same as like two people hanging on for dear life. And it's like, if you drop, I'll keep you safe. Like, that's a little different here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you don't have anything to like leverage. You're like, you're just hoping that like, if your thing, that your whatever puck lands in the correct spot, like you can't really say I'm gonna hold on forever. Like I'm gonna get a 10, so yeah, the deal or not.
Yeah, it's because they keep trying to make it's the same thing that happened with Vic and Kiefer the week before, where it's just like you're just both making a deal to keep each other safe, but neither of you are throwing the HOH to each other. Like, you're getting nothing from this deal. Like, if somebody throws the HOH to you after you made the deal, then it's like, okay, I gave you something. I gave you this power. Don't screw me over because of it. And Vic, or Austin is going to tell Kiefer that she threw the HOH. We did not get a confirmation in the episode whether or not she threw it. But clearly, it's not like she told him she was going to. It's not like, okay, I'm going to throw this for you. You keep me safe. If I do this, will you keep me safe? And he was like, okay, yes. It was, we good? it's not enough.
Right.
I felt like she got a relatively good score, right? Like, obviously it was
pretty bad.
But was it bad?
It was okay. A very soft throw, I think.
Okay. Okay. That they're all blending together in my head.
Yeah, all the throws are blending. I swear I thought she had like gotten an 8 or something, and then he had gotten.
So I'm pretty sure he got the 9, which was like right before the 10, and then she was like a full row before the 9 with like a 4 or something.
Okay.
Are we like convinced? I mean, are we set that she threw it?
I don't know.
Because I feel like people are saying that. People are saying that, and like, I heard that she said that. I didn't see her say that, but I had heard from someone else say that she had said that she had thrown it. And I don't know. I feel like you can say that all you want, that you threw good the competition, but like, it's so hard to tell when it's something like that, when it's something like a crapshoot. I don't know. I mean, I guess like you can be really skilled at shuffleboard, but still, like, I don't know.
The chat is stuck between 7 and 4. So yeah, I'm not sure which one is right.
It might have had like a 4 and a 7. I don't know. But either way, she was like a full, I think, row back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was no chance that she was going to be able to get it. But when I saw it, it looked like she threw it to me. Other people in the house have also speculated that she threw it. She has denied that she threw it to the people that would be upset with her if she had thrown it. And claimed to have thrown it to the people that would be happy that she threw it. So, at the end of the day, who knows? She has expressed a lot of interest in not winning HOHs. So, you know, I think there's an argument to be made on both sides here. But this is one of those things I don't think we're ever going to fully know, because by the time we get a chance to ask her, it's going to be very clear that in retrospect, she should not have thrown it. She probably already feels that way. So there's no chance she's ever going to, or at least if she admits to throwing it, then we know for sure she threw it, right? But if she says she didn't, then it's hard to know for sure one way or another at this point.
Yeah, I feel like I want to know, because I feel like that would affect my rating too, is like, if she's the type of player to throw it in this instance and now ends up on the block, possibly going home, like, that's not good. That's really not good. The only time you should throw an HOH, like, is if your ally is the one who's standing up there with you, not like this. It just seems wrong. I don't know. So yeah, that would really affect my rating. So
if it helps, not just a few hours after she was informed that she's probably going to go up on the block, she was telling Braden that she didn't think she wanted to win the next HOH.
There you go.
Yeah. So,
like in this situation, you should be gunning for the HOH. You know, it doesn't make any sense. There are two sides of the house. Like, I don't know. No one's in a good enough position to just like, I don't need that.
Yeah. Well, Kiefer is going to win this HOH. I also thought it looked like Roe threw this HOH, which, and this is also he should not have thrown this HOH. Absolutely. Kiefer is going to want to put up Kyle and Ro. Kyle and Ro are going to try and convince Kiefer to put Vic on the block. They feel like that is the easiest way forward. They have no real loyalty to Vic at this point when it's, you know, them or Vic or whoever. And Vic is the most easily disposable person in that crew. So they throw Vic in the firing line here. They are going to ask Tina and Tara to do the same thing. And this is the classic Big Brother trap that they have fallen into, which is that it was always going to be them, and anything that they say is just going to dig their hole deeper and damage the relationships that they have in the game here, Iman.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I feel like Vic probably should have seen this coming because of the fact that, like, all of the relationships that she had sort of built this week to get LaToya out of the house were on the basis of just getting LaToya out of the house. And now that LaToya is gone, that doesn't really leave them with any real incentive to keep you, because they've already sort of been working together without you anyway. So, I mean, throwing her under the bus, especially after Carb was already a thing, was the next logical step, because everybody is just trying, like you said before, everybody's just trying to keep hold of their pair, you know, whether you're Tyre Jed, whether you're TNT, whether you're Austin or Braden, everybody just wants to keep their number one in the house, and Victoria doesn't have that. So toodles.
In the meantime, Ty, Jed, and Beth are contemplating the idea of, we really have to go after the guys, We really have to. What about this whole, like, I feel like we've got a thing going, right? Like, they like us. We like them, kind of. They're not going to come after us, right? Austin and Vic are the real threats. It should be them on the block. They're going to push for that, but Kiefer's not going to hear of it. Again, I've talked about this a lot, but Vic definitely got lucky that Kiefer is the one that won this HOH. He had no interest in putting Vic up on the block. As an individual person in the house, he wanted more individual people in the house. The fact that Vic didn't have anyone was actually a benefit to him in this instance. And so Kiefer is going to put Kyle and Ro on the block, but that is going to just prompt Ty, Jed and Beth in particular, since they are chosen for the veto, to talk to Kyle and Ro and say, hey, look, we can't win and use it on you because Kiefer would not want us to. But what we can do is throw this veto to you so that you win the veto and then we can see where we go from there. And, you know, at this point, it just seems like it's one blunder after another here, Melissa.
It's like, what are we seeing how it goes from there? Like, it's just one of them comes off the block and then one of them stays.
And that's the thing, like, they didn't think it through. Like, they didn't think what happens after they win.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I don't think that makes any sense at all. It's such a bad move. And like, what are they thinking? I mean, the best situation for them is to have both Kyle and Ro on the block at the end of the week. They have to send one of them home. And then the other one is like a straggler, essentially, that they could possibly work with and be like, look, we didn't want to have to evict your friend. Like, we didn't want to have to go after you, but look, our hands are tied. You guys were on the block at the end of the week. We had to evict one of you. We're so sorry. We want to work with you. Like, you're remaining here. We want to work with you. You clearly can't work with like Kiefer or whatever because he put you on the block. So here we are. We're your friends. It's like, I just don't understand. It would make perfect sense. Now, at the end of the week, they have to choose between Austin and Kyle and make their pick. And then that's going to piss off either Brayden or Ro. And I just don't understand where any of the logic is.
It's like they are trying to make this bro alliance happen if it's the last thing that they do. And it's like, not every season has to be like this. Mm-hmm. It's okay if you four guys are never able to come together. Please, we've been asking for something like this not to happen for centuries. Stop trying to block a blessing here. Kyle and Ro are on the block. They were going to, you guys, like, look, you're not, like, if you have to work this hard, it's like, what, week three, week four? If you have to work this hard at trying to potentially make something happen, that means that it shouldn't happen. So just get rid of Kyle, get rid of Ro, whichever one who doesn't win veto, and then keep it moving. I don't know what is this like logic behind, like, oh well, you know, we could keep you in the game because then we could work together against who? Like,
right. Yeah. That's the problem, is like, wait until there's like opposition and everyone's trying to get one of the guys, whoever that may be, out, and then you sit there and you look at each other and say, look, like, everybody else in the house is coming after the four of us because we're the strong guys. We have to turn it around and come together. Like, that's when you do it, when you're desperate. You don't do it when you each have your own teams.
Exactly.
It's like, I think, you know what?
I really credit Victoria with all of this, because Victoria really, and I don't know how much of this, well, I think a little bit of it was intentional, because she did say that she wanted to try and like be in the middle of all of this. So when she put, you know, LaToya on the block, and then threatened Ty for going up on the block if the veto was using all this, like, really pissing off Ty and Jed. I think that sort of like distracted Ty and Jed. It's like, oh, well, Vic is a real issue. She is a problem. And they're right. Victoria is a real problem, but Victoria is also a problem on the heels of Kyle and Ro already being a problem before Victoria. So all Victoria did was like say, hey, I'm going to shave off one of your numbers, but look behind me, Kyle and Ro are still right there. So they're really like stuck in this, like, we got to get Vic because she just did that to us. But also Kyle and Ro, we kind of pissed them off the week before. So, you know, you kind of have to like pick your poison. And I feel like they just don't want to commit to anything because they have this thing in their head that if one of them stays and they can use them as a number. And it's like, sometimes you just don't have the number. Sometimes the house can be split and that's fine. Like, just get rid of them. You're winning right now. You're winning. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So ultimately, Ro is going to win this veto. And with that, somebody is going to have to be the replacement nominee. And so, of course, it starts to get out to Victoria that she has been thrown under the bus. And that that Kyle and Ro have been doing a lot of the throwing. And she is pissed. She's pissed. She's going to confront them about it. And she's going to blow up at them at the veto ceremony. The veto ceremony happens. Ro gets taken. He takes himself down. Austin goes up as the replacement after many days of just chaos. The confrontation happens and again kind of goes out with a whimper. And then Kyle and Ro apologize to Vic, but she's not really having it. She is, you know, kind of in with, you know, the Sunsetters and Kiefer a lot more. And she has been turned. She has flipped.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Oh, no, not.
Because LaToya is going to flip it.
Oh, no. What did LaToya do, Vic?
LaToya flipped it.
What did you do? Flip, flop, flip, flop. I mean, okay, Vic. If that's what you really want to do, I mean, I don't know what else she expected Kyle and Ro to do. Like, who else is Kiefer going to put up? He's clearly not going to put up Ty or Jed. The options were limited. And I mean, I don't know why she's at, I mean, part of it is, I think part of it is strategy. Definitely. She just wants them to feel, whoever's going to stay, she wants them to feel loyal. And looky there, Ro is promising her that she'll be his number one if Kyle goes. So it's working. I think that this is just her game. Just chaos.
It's hard because when they initially, you know, formed the oddballs, that's two pairs plus one. Like, it just, for her to be confused that Kiefer might, I guess that for her to be confused that Kyle and Ro wouldn't be turning against each other and would want to try and find a way to save each other over anyone else, like, I don't know why that's confusing. I don't know. It just seems like, yeah, that's like inevitable. If you're working with two sets of pairs, those pairs are going to be closer than any of them are with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And like, it's one of those things where it's like, I understand why she's upset, because she's like, well, we were working together as an alliance. But like Amon said, like, what's Kiefer going to do? Put up Jed and Ty and Beth? Like, no, he's not going to do that. Like Tina and Tara, no. So, I mean, it's unfortunate because I could see her position, you know, where it's like she just formed the oddballs and the second she's out of power, they're like, okay, bye. Like, we're done with this. It's over. Mm-hmm. We're throwing you under the bus. That does kind of suck. But like, I feel like it's not a situation where you should just like abandon them entirely, because I mean, it's a weird situation. I mean, they played it wrong. I mean, they probably shouldn't have revealed to Kiefer at all who else to put up on the block. I feel like they should have just like, I don't know if Kiefer's going to put them up anyway. They should have just let it go. But still,
yeah. I agree with that.
Well, with Austin and Kyle on the block, the vote seems very stacked against Kyle. However, just today there has been some talk of potentially flipping this thing. It seemed to all stem from a rumor. I have not been able to source exactly where it started or how it started, but. Somebody was told that Austin said that Kiefer said that Jed and Beth threw the veto to Ro and Kyle. Now we know that Jed and Beth did throw the veto, or at least talked about throwing the veto to Ro and Kyle. But I do not believe that Kiefer was aware of that. Kiefer definitely did not tell Austin that. And so the fact that it might have come from Austin is very confusing to Kiefer, who's like, what is she doing? And really seemed to have opened up kind of the door for what if we got rid of Austin? I think on top of that, Ro has been awarded the slop thing, I believe. I have to imagine that has influenced some thoughts, some hearts in mind, especially Kiefer, who I think loves to kind of play up to the cameras here and there.
Screw the camera.
Fancies himself a little bit of Canada's darling, may not want to be on the wrong side of history on this one. So Kiefer has opened his mind to the idea of Kyle potentially staying, Austin potentially leaving, Tina and Tara kind of want that to happen. Now, I disagree with that for their games personally, but they seem to want it to happen. Vic, to Kiefer was like, no, I don't like flips.
Because LaToya is going to flip it.
Because LaToya likes flips and she doesn't. But she's, as we've been talking to Tina and Tara, and she's actually been telling them that she does want this vote to flip. She would like to keep Kyle around and get rid of Austin at this point. I think Kiefer is back on board with, I would prefer to get Kyle out. But the fact that he was even considering it means that it's possible that he may consider it again. And the idea of this flip is not completely dead. I would not say that the week is over for sure, but it's not looking great. It's looking better than it was for the last couple of days.
This is stupid. Just get rid of Kyle. Just get rid of Kyle, if anything, so that we can see these two Kyle Morris meet on the outside. If anything, do it for the fan. Do it for us. You want to be Canada's darling? Let's see these two Kyles in the real world. But apart from that, like, okay, so like, I kind of understand the logic of like, okay, let's make sure that we butter up Ro, because when Kyle gone, we're going to want, like, Ro's going to be alone and we want him to come over to our side. So if we extend an olive branch and we throw this feeder to him, then maybe there's a chance that if he does end up winning next HOH, we'd be safe, right? That's fine. That's fine. That should be the end of the play. End of play, call in the troops, it's over. Why are you being nice to Ro and also having Ro keep his number? That doesn't make any sense. Just get rid of him. Just get rid of him. He got outplayed. And getting rid of Austin is like the most... I know that Austin's got a lot of stands, but the girl is she is such a non-factor week after week after week. Why would you get rid of her? What jury is going to vote for Austin at this point? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think part of the issue is that Jed and Ty want to work with Kyle and Ro. So it's not just like, oh, well, it's just another pair and Austin and Brayden are a pair, so it's essentially the same thing. Like, I don't see Jed and Ty wanting to work with Austin and Brayden. I see them wanting to work with Kyle and Ro. So like, if they are kept around, if they keep the pair of Kyle and Ro, that's very dangerous if they decide to link up with Ty and Jed. I just think that, especially for Tina and Tara and Kiefer, it is not a good idea to keep Kyle around. They need to get Kyle out. It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And the biggest issue I have with the idea of letting Austin go this week is that when Austin leaves, nobody is going to look at Brayden until the end of the game. Nobody's going to consider Brayden a threat. Mm-hmm. Brayden will not be a threat for the rest of this game. Nobody's going to go for Brayden, right? If Kyle leaves, Ro is still a threat. He's still a target. People will target Ro. People will have to pay attention to Ro. Brayden is going to be a new free agent, just another person that will not be targeted, and the pairs will continue to be targeted over somebody like Brayden, whereas Ro might actually stand in front of those pairs. So for Tina and Tara, I really dislike this idea. On top of that, Ty, Jed, and Beth have shown so much reluctance to go after Kyle and Ro to begin with that I think they are much less likely to target Kyle and Ro if they win, and much more likely to target Tina and Tara, who they are very frustrated with constantly. Whereas if Austin was still in the house, they still feel threatened enough by Austin that they actually see Austin as a bigger target than Kyle and Ro and would actually go after Austin next week over Tina and Tara, especially with Kiefer's influence. And so with all of that in mind, I really don't like the move from Tina and Tara. I don't like the move from Kiefer, who sure, Austin is after Kiefer, but so is Kyle and Ro. And I don't love the move by, you know what? I guess, you know what? For Jed and Ty at this point, do whatever. If Kiefer's on board, do whatever you want. At the very least, Kyle and Ro are votes for Ty and Jed if they get to the, if they're in the jury, right? Like those two guys respect the other guys.
Right.
And so I guess in that sense, it can be useful for them. But really, Kyle is just miles away the better player here. And he doesn't benefit anybody's game except for Rose and like Austin's. And so just take this guy out. He is way too likely to trick Ty and Jed into somehow losing the game than any kind of benefit he can give them, in my opinion.
So at this point in the week, who wants who out from the two people who are still on the block? It would be Jed and Ty want to take out Austin.
I would say that Kiefer's is let me do the solid votes here, right? Solidly, Tina and Tara would like for Kyle to stay. They would like Austin to go. Ro.
They both. That's such a bad move. Okay, right. Anyway.
Ro.
I'm like, wait, really?
Yeah. Ro would also like for Kyle to stay, obviously. So that's three. Mm-hmm. Vic seems to be on board, but you never really know. Vic, I would say, is in the middle, might be leaning Kyle stay. Then you have Brayden, who wants Kyle to go and wants Austin to stay, obviously very strongly. And then Beth, Ty, and Jed, who are leaning for Kyle to go, but could be talked into something else. Kiefer is about the same. Kiefer is leaning toward Kyle should go, but is open to something else. So you have a lot more people who really would like for Kyle to stay more assuredly on one side, but the momentum is still in the other side. You know, if Kiefer, Ty, Jed, and Beth and them all lock in that this is what we want, especially when it seems like, why do Tina and Tara want Kyle to stay? Is it because they want Kyle to come after us? Yes. that may sort of put them off of the idea. So there's still a lot of work to be done here if the vote is to
flip.
What's
the magic number? Is it still five?
So the number is four to Ty, but they would need four and Kiefer. And so The problem is they're not going to have Kiefer without also having Ty, Jed, and Beth, which means basically whatever Kiefer, Ty, Jed, and Beth want will happen this week. Nobody else is going to have any kind of say because Ro and Brayden are both locked votes for each other's, you know, number ones. That means the other three votes, Beth, Ty, and Jed, make four. Kiefer is the tiebreaker. So those four decide whatever they want. Tina, Tara, Vic can want whatever they want. It's never going to happen unless all of the Sunsetters are also on board.
Mm-hmm.
So,
got it.
But didn't Jed and Ty and Beth all want Austin to go?
Initially they did. Then they had kind of flipped around and now they're kind of like, well, maybe we should. And now that we're thinking about it again, Austin is very dangerous.
I feel like it's typical
of the Sunsetters. They are bouncing back and forth.
I mean, they're like solid in either direction. Yeah.
Hot and cold.
Yeah. Okay.
Off and on.
Well, that's interesting. I just feel like it, honestly, like, and I feel like we say this every week, but it really could go either way. Like, I could absolutely see a flip happening and I could see Austin going home, but I could also see Kyle going home. So it really could go either way. I don't think there's a solid, like, yep, we know who's leaving this week. That's the end of it. So I guess that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean,
the Big Brother Canada 9 just keeps on giving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
crazy.
I could see them flip-flopping for days only to eventually be like, let's just stick to the plan and get Kyle out.
Because, I mean, it's the better plan.
It just is.
Like, you don't need Kyle and Rose help to do anything, Jed and Ty. Like, what do you need their help for? To do what? To take out Tina? To take out Tara? Y'all can do that on your own.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. It does not.
I think if this flip were to happen, it would need to go something like Tina, Tara, Vic together. If Vic is really on board, approach Kiefer and say, maybe this is not good for Ty and Jed, but this is good for our games, us in the middle. This is what we should do. If they are able to convince Kiefer of that, I think Kiefer at this point is still capable of talking a wishy-washy enough Ty, Jed, and Beth into accepting it and saying, you know what? Okay, you guys were right. We should take out Austin. That's how I think this flip will happen if it does. But I think the odds of that are still relatively low. The door has just opened for it to happen, whereas before it was closed. I often talk about it in this way where it's like, in order for a flip to happen, certain requirements need to be met first. Those requirements have been met. The door is open. People could walk through it. It's still not super likely, but it could happen.
I think that if Kiefer does that, I mean, I don't know how many more roundtables I'll be on, but if he does that, zero across the board until the end of the season, just zero.
Just get like to you zero.
You're going to sit there and like not put Jed and Ty on the block and then try to convince them to keep Kyle and Ro in the house to take them out later. And you can do that. Well, you know what? Ty and Jed might just be dense enough not to understand that that's what's going on. So you know what? Let me not even. Because with those two, you just never know. So it really could go either way. And that's just the theme of Big Brother Canada 9.
Yeah, I feel like you get a lot of exciting results each week because you're like, well, anything could really happen, but you're not going to see a lot of like skillful maneuvering and like there's no dance funeral happening here. I just feel like the skill isn't there, but the excitement factor because the skill isn't there is great.
Yeah. Yes, and therefore I will not complain.
Maybe we'll get like a Wendy's Wednesday. That'll be the extent of the big moves we'll see.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's talk about the state of the house here, because it's on one hand very straightforward, on the other hand a little bit messy. You have the Sunsetters side. I'm counting the Sunsetters at this point. The Sunsetters to me are Ty, Jed, and Beth, the trio, the thruple. They're the Sunsetters. Slightly next ring, next onion layer, Kiefer. A little bit on the outside. Mm-hmm. Kind of doing work for them. That's great. But he's not in the inner circle of Sunsetters. Then next outer layer, you have Tina, the person who has strayed. Mm-hmm. And you have Vic, the person that they're just kind of using as a number right now because it's useful. It's helpful. That's the Sunsetters side right now. I would say in order of loyalty to the Sunsetters, it would be Ty, Jed, and Beth, the most loyal to each other. Kiefer is basically equally loyal to them, it seems, but I'm hoping someday he'll show that he's not. And then Vic also seems fairly loyal. You know, we talked a lot about last week, like, it seems like she wants Toya out so that she can be in Toya's place, and I feel like she thinks she's accomplished that, and so she feels pretty comfortable with these guys. And then Tina, who is not loyal to them whatsoever and is actively targeting them. So there's... A little bit of a gap there. We then have the oddball side, which consists of Kyle, Roe, Austin, and Brayden. I would say they are the core of the oddball side now, with Kyle and or Austin leaving. I would see that, and here's part of the thing. I think if Kyle leaves, Roe, Austin, and Brayden, they seem to be pretty tight. They seem to be like rallying around, okay, Kyle's leaving. If Austin leaves, Brayden's jumping ship. Quick, in my opinion. Brayden's gonna be like, and I say this so often because it's what he does, but who? What? I was grab never even that close.
Better grab your own little Fruit Loop dingus. Just you on a world of your own.
Yes. Yeah. And then of course, also with the oddballs are Tara and Tina, who are much more loyal to each other and their own sort of self-interest over the group's interest. They don't bond with the rest of the oddballs in the same way that they are bonded in a social way, but they are strategically aligned with the oddballers, targeting the Sunsetters. You then kind of had this middle group of the mid-90s, which is Kiefer, Tina, and Tara, sort of bridge the gap between these two groups, or at least one of the bridges.
Pre-90s.
Yes, pre-90s. And Victoria is also kind of like as an individual in the game, kind of like with Kiefer a little bit, with Tina and Tara a little bit, but no real like solid placement anywhere as of yet. And then really that's like the kind of the two sides of the house and the structure of those two sides. But the house really, when it comes down to it, is about the pairs. It's about Tina and Tara. It's about Austin and Brayden, Kyle and Roe, the thruple, Ty, Jed, Beth, and then Kiefer on his own, Vic on her own. And what makes Ty, Jed, and Beth so powerful right now is that they are a thruple and not a couple, and they have Kiefer and Vic as extra numbers for them at the moment. So the other pairs are having to rally together in order to face that threat. That's where the two sides come in. So that's basically the state of the house here, Melissa.
Yep. Yeah. It's funny, you know, I didn't realize the being in a thruple would be so beneficial for the game, but you know, here we are.
You know, I love that the show is sort of like along for the ride with this. I mean, I don't think that we've really ever seen something like this before on Big Brother. I mean, hey, thruples are a thing. They be out here. Like, I have met quite a few of them. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, actually, this is kind of fun. So no judgment on my end. And I'm glad that there's a little bit of that going on in the house. It looks like Ty is actually trying to distance himself a little bit from it as of last night. So we'll see. We'll see what becomes of what do you call them? TBJ? TB&J?
TB&J.
So, yeah, but it's definitely I'm enjoying the dynamic so far.
Some interesting stuff. All right. So that's basically where we are. There are a few scenarios that I think will really break up this two-sided thing. If the Sunsetters win next week, I think that the Oddballers will really start to crumble in terms of having any kind of thing resembling a side, and it will just become the Sunsetters versus the rest of the, you know, whoever can maybe win an HOH and feel bold enough to target them. But I think what will probably happen is that everyone will kind of fall in line and try to fit in somewhere. And then if the Oddballers win, they will target the Sunsetters, who, while I think remain strong, people like Vic will probably jump back, and or at least try to. And be like, yeah, I was against them the whole time. And then probably jump back again the next week. And so, that's kind of where things stand until the Sunsetters really get broken up. I think there will always be two sides of the house. They just won't always look the same until it really becomes, it's because it's the thing is that they just stand out too much as a trio. And luckily, you know, not luckily, I guess, anymore, but Kiefer now stands in with them. And so they just look too strong to ignore. And so that's really what's causing this house divide dynamic is that they are too obvious and they are not able to use that the power that they have as the most solid alliance to do anything. And so the other people are grouping up against them.
Don't you just love a fluid house? This is what dreams are made of. I love it.
All right. Well, I think, are we ready for the stock watch?
Yes.
Rate some players. All right. Let's get into it then. Let's bring up the stock watch here. This is what we got. If you're watching the video, you got the visual alongside what we're talking about. If you don't worry. We'll explain what we're doing as we go along. The stock watch is something that we do where, as I said before, we rate the players each individually, one by one, out of 10. One out of 10. One meaning terrible at the game. No chance to win. Probably about to go home. 10 meaning this is amazing. This is Dan Gheesling level. This is the best they could have played this week. They're an amazing player. I can tell you that nobody in this house will ever be receiving a 10 from me.
No way.
Not unless they get some sort of incepted strategy into their minds somehow over the course of time. But that's what we're going to do. We'll each rate the player. And then I also polled the audience. And you guys have submitted your ratings for the players as well. And the average is what we're going to go with for the prices that we attach to the players so that you can buy and sell shares of their Big Brother stock. So let's start here with Austin. Amon, what are your thoughts on Austin?
I'm not a big fan of Austin this week. I think that, I mean, now that she's actually in legitimate danger, she's really not doing, she's not even really campaigning. She's not even doing a lot to save herself. And if she did throw the competition, I mean, her rating for me was going to be low anyway. So that really doesn't even have that much of an effect. I just feel like she's just not proactive. She's just not very interesting to watch. And yes, you can make the argument that this sort of like understated gameplay is most opportune at an early stage in the game, but I don't necessarily think that that's strategy. I think that that's just Austin, and she likes to hang out with Brayden, and that's kind of where the story ends for me with her. She's in a lot of danger right now, and she doesn't even know it. And so for that reason, I'm going to go ahead and give her a 3.
Yeah, I'm on that same page too. I gave her a 3. I'm giving her a 3. Because I'm not seeing it right now. Like, number one, if she did indeed throw the HOH. That's such a bad move, such a bad call. I mean, she's up against Kiefer, who's on the opposite side of the house. It's just, it's not good. And also, if she's, even if she didn't throw it, the fact that she's talking about not wanting to get an HOH and the fact that she's saying that, it's like, she needs that. I mean, look at her. She could possibly be going home. And and I don't see us. I don't. She's possibly going home this week, and I don't see her trying to make sure that that's not the case. She's barely campaigning. If she's campaigning, it's just like casual and just like, oh, keep me, or like, I'll make you dinner or whatever. And it's not the kind of campaigning that needs to be had right now. And I get that, like, well, they just can't campaign 24/7. Sometimes the approach of like slow and steady is better. Yes. But like when you're sitting back like this much, you're letting the potential for flips happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you're letting the people talk behind your back and then come up with new plans, and you're being left out and you're out of the loop. So I just think that like there's such a thing as pushing too hard too fast and not doing anything at all. So I think she needs to find that medium in between there. So I just, I gotta
get, she just doesn't, you know what it is? She just doesn't keep her ear to the ground, because I can understand like not wanting to. Yeah. I can understand not wanting to like push too hard, but she should at least be keeping that sort of strategy in mind, having already had information. Like, but the fact that she doesn't even know that there's a chance that she could be up out of here, that's like where it's like, oh, it's just not good. It's just not giving me Big Brother player. It's just not. So if I'm on the block, this is even a possibility that I'm touching the block, I am knocking on doors of the HOH. I'm going from room to room. I am eavesdropping. I'm dropping little hints. I'm doing anything and everything to stay off the block. And if I'm on the block, I'm doing anything and everything to stay in the house. I just, this whole little, let me just sit back and eat some hot Cheetos thing is the most Gen Z thing I can think of.
She's easily, in my opinion, one of the worst players in the house. And she should be, based on her inactivity, one of the safest people in the house. And yet she is still one of the biggest targets in the house. Might be leaving this week. Failed to make a deal with an HOH that she may or may not have thrown the HOH to. She is unable to socialize with anybody outside of her immediate circle. She barely does anything in the game. She still isn't convinced that she needs to win the HOH next week, even though she's on the block and could very well go home. There's just so much wrong with her game. And I think that she's a smart person. Like, she's capable of playing. I think that's one of the more frustrating things about it, is I think she's capable of playing a decent game. I think, you know, this, we talked about this a lot in her first in the first week when she was HOH. I think she's just too young for it. I think she's just not ready to play this game. And she's too kind of preoccupied with, you know, hanging out with her friends. And I think it's possible that if like somehow Brayden left before her and Kyle leaves this week, maybe she'd be able to turn it on and like actually, you know, do something. But of all of the people that I just talked about, I think she's probably the least likely person to be able to do that. Brayden is kind of the opposite, where Brayden, I feel like, is capable of doing that. I don't know if Austin is capable of doing that. And so I agree. I went with a 3-4 Austin, and with all this flip talk, I could have gone as low as a 2, but I did not quite yet, because I still don't think it'll happen. But definitely not super high here on Austin. And the audience is actually a little bit higher on Austin than we are. They gave her a 4.
Okay.
To your point, Amon, that she may have some stance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was hovering around 4 and 3, but I just, like I said before, she's just not really giving me enough to really justify that. So sorry, girl.
All right. Well, next up we have Beth. Beth is an interesting one. For me, I'm actually, I'm a little bit higher on Beth than I was last week. Last week, I gave her a 4. I think she was a little bit more in danger last week than she is this week. Now, this week, I'm even less convinced that she's, like, self-interested enough to, like, win this game, unfortunately. I still just see her kind of heading to the finals in a bad spot. She, similar to Austin in a way, seems to be unable to breach her own social circle anymore. She tries, unlike Austin, but she has just fallen flat so often. She's been caught in lies so often that nobody really trusts her anymore. And that's not great for Beth. The saving grace here is that people are targeting Ty and Jed much more so than Beth. It's hard to see a scenario where Beth goes home. Even if people are looking at her as a potential target, it would probably be Ty or Jed. And then even at this point, Kiefer more so than Beth, which means she has longevity in the game. And quite frankly, in a house like this, where things are so fluid and none of the players are that good, longevity is key. Position is key. And Beth is in a decent position right now. And for that reason and that reason alone, I gave her a 5. Melissa, what do you think?
I felt like we were on Shark Tank for a second. And you're like, and for that reason, I'm out. Just like, I honestly, okay. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I think last week, I'm not convinced by any means that she's some strategist or that she like has it in her to, you know, be a great game player or anything like that. But I do think that last week I was way more concerned about her. I thought like she's probably next to go. People are talking about her. But I think right now she's kind of, I don't know, I feel like she's more protected than a lot of other people. I think other people are kind of standing out more. And I think after this week, people might not trust her. They might not want to work with her, but I don't necessarily see her being number one target moving into next week. Who knows? That could change, but it just seems like it's not going to be it. So I do think she's in a better position than she was last week. I do think she's kind of more protected than she was. I want to give her a 5 as well. I think she's in a better place than she was last week.
The audience is again going to disagree with this here, Melissa. The audience is down at a 4 for Beth. So Aman, where do you stand on this?
I guess I was kinder than all of you guys. Surprisingly, I gave Beth a 6. Because of all the things that Taryn has said, I think now in this point of the game, yes, she is standing at a good shot at making it very far. Will she win? As of right now, probably not. Probably not. But once again, this game is extremely fluid. And so I wonder if there is, with longevity, does a little bit more improvement of like her interpersonal skills come along with that? Is there a way, like, especially if she begins to lose Ty and Jed, because one of them is going to go eventually. So I'm wondering if when she loses, is that going to light a fire? This is all perspective, but I think that the mere potential of that actually being a thing, I gave her a 6. Like, look, she has sandwiched herself in between two of the biggest targets in the house. And yes, people have been saying her name, mostly Victoria, and that fell flat. And I also like the way that Beth handled that situation. And it makes me feel a lot better about how she'll be able to handle sticky situations going forward, because she didn't take the bait with Victoria, even though Victoria was clearly trying to get her to go to a place. And Beth was like, nope, not doing it. So if she can like maintain that like level of decorum, I wonder, like, what does the end game really look like for her as of right now? As of right now, it's a 6. Who knows what will happen next week, but that's where I'm at with her.
All right. Well, there we go. Beth at a 5 overall. Aman, I'm curious, where are you on Brayden?
Okay, so remember we just talked about Beth, and I just thought, like, Taryn made a couple points about how, you know, Beth really tries to come out of the circle, you know? She tries to be funny, but it just doesn't really work that well. Brayden doesn't even have to try, and that kind of stuff just comes naturally to him. Nobody really wants to target him. Even if Austin were to go home, Brayden would probably smooth sail to the end, and I think that he could get some votes. If you toss in a couple of wins here and there, Brayden's looking pretty good. Like, no one really is coming for him. I gave Brayden an 8, baby. I gave him an 8.
Whoa.
I gave Brayden an 8 because,
oh, man,
the face. Look, 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 look. He Look, his past week has been terrible with Austin. Like, it's just not a good look. But I think that there is potential for him to improve. I think that once again, he is a fan of the game. And I think right now what he's doing is just keeping it low key, keeping it really, really cool. Just hanging with Austin, trying to remain in the background. And I think that there's potential for him to really turn up the heat moving on forward. So I gave Raiden an 8 based off of the fact that no one is coming for that boy. No one's coming for him. And that really serves him well.
Well, there you go. I will say,
does the audience agree?
Audience,
y'all invited me on this stock watch. This is what you're going to get. So
we should have known.
The audience does not agree, but they did give Brayden the second highest rating of the entire field. They did give him a 6. Okay. So,
oh, you know what? I see people in the chat saying that I'm doing. You know, you want to know one thing about me, y'all? I'm not playing any stock watch. I don't have not one vested interest this year. I said that I was going to do it, but I missed the deadline. So for all of you that think that I'm trying to be a biased raider, I'm not the one. I'm not the one. I don't give not one damn, not one iota of a damn.
Now, to be clear, there is no deadline. You can join whenever you want. But yeah,
true. True, but I mean, I'm probably not going now.
It's like, actually, I did buy some Brayden. He's somewhere around here. So, yes, the audience gave Brayden a 6. I will say, I was kind of feeling a Brayden 6. I think this Austin thing had me wavering where I think the biggest concern I have with Brayden is that he will be put on the block next to Austin next week if the wrong people win. Now, if the flip goes through, this whole flip thing is actually very good for Brayden because if Austin leaves, I think Brayden's locked in. Like, there's Brayden's not going anywhere. If Austin stays, I actually think it's bad for him because it will continue to lock him in with this relationship he has with Austin, where he spends all of his time with her, and he will be put up on the block next to her. And being on the block is never what you want to have happen to you. And so, the thing is, even if he does get put up on the block next to Austin and say she wins veto, that's worst case scenario, right? That's where I could see him going home as early as next week. It's possible. But I think that even in that scenario, you're probably looking at something like Ro as the replacement for Austin, Ro going home over Brayden, or even Vic, depending on what happens, or even Atina or Tara. I still don't know that they would send Brayden out over whoever is replaced by Brayden, because they do not care about Brayden. They're not threatened by Brayden. They're only threatened by Austin. And so I don't know that he would go even in that scenario. And so with that in mind, I did also, I'll tell you right now, 6 is my max rating. And I'm giving it to the people that I feel are the safest in the house. And so I gave Brayden a 6 for the week, as well as other people that I haven't talked about yet. I was talking about as well, like with the audience. I was agreeing with the audience. That's what I meant to say. I did not mess up what I said. Melissa, where are you on Brayden?
I mean, I agree. I think that under normal circumstances, when somebody's ally is like number one ally is possibly going out the door, normally that means I take the rating down because it's like your number one ally is going out the door. But I think in fact, like you guys all said, that would benefit Brayden. I think that having Austin in the house as his number one puts a huge target on him because there's a huge target on her. And people seem to think of her as a threat. He's not branded with that. If she leaves, he's a lone wolf. He can do whatever he wants. He can be used as a number. I don't think people are going to be coming for him. I mean, it's the same thing as like, you know, Victoria or Kiefer or whatever, like they're alone. And when you start to get people alone, they kind of forget about them. You know, it's the same thing with like Rachel Riley, and Brendan, like, when Brendan got out, Rachel kind of faded away. I mean, I guess it's just like you just kind of let the person stick around. So I could see that happening with Brayden. And I think that that could be really good for him if he knows what to do with it. I think that's the problem, is that I'm not really seeing the strategy there. I mean, I hope mm-hmm. that he has it in him, but he, strategy or not, at this point, he is in a really good spot in the house, even mm-hmm. if his number one ally goes home. In fact, even more so. So I got to give him a six. I think that he's in a good spot. I think he's in a better spot than last week when I gave him a five. So yeah, it's a six for me.
Well, there you go. A six from Melissa will mean a seven average, which is quite wow. the payday for Brayden shareholders. Mm-hmm. So you have Amon to thank.
You're welcome.
He accepts cash rewards.
Oh, I do. My Venmo. You know what, Terrence? Change that little ticker down there to at Amon Adwin.
On Venmo. Oh, God.
All right. So let's talk about Jed. Let's talk about Jed and Melissa. Let's start with you. Where are you on Jed?
It's tough because I feel like I see the strategy in him less this week. Or maybe it's just my faith in him. I don't know, like my faith in him to like make good decisions and be strategic. But I don't think he's in a bad spot. I mean, at this point, they're getting at least one of the other duos is going to lose a member. And he's in a throuple. God, I keep having to say that, but he's in a throuple at this point. And that's good for him. Yeah, there's a target on his back just because, you know, eventually people are going to start being like, hey, wait a second. They're a strong three. Possibly everybody's going to gang up on them. We don't know. But at this point, he's in a pretty good spot. So I don't feel like I need to, I don't know. I guess my only confusion and the reason why I don't want to give him a higher rating than this is because I'm not seeing the strategy. In fact, I'm seeing like negative strategy, I guess, in terms of with Brayden, it's like, I don't know. He hasn't really been in a position where he needs to have it. So we'll right. see what he has. But with Jed, it's like, oh, that's what's going on here. You're making these possibly bad decisions all the time. This is not good. So yeah, I'm keeping with my five for Jed.
All right. Last week I was at a four for Jed. Did not love what he was doing. I still don't love what Jed is doing. But there are a couple of things that I like about Jed's position. One is that he seems to be closer to Beth now than Ty. Now, that's a good thing for now in terms of his power within the Sunsetters. It's a bad thing if this becomes like public perception, because one of the other good things about his game is that Ty is seen as the bigger threat. Ty is the one that people have consistently talked about targeting over Jed. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with this kind of talk, where it's very hypothetical and it's not super one-sided like Austin and Brayden, is that it's like, yeah, you know, Ro is a bigger target than Kyle. We like Kyle more. Kyle and Ro are on the block. You know what? Kyle's the bigger threat. He needs to go. Mm-hmm. I could see that happening with Jed and Ty, but for now, Ty is considered to be the bigger threat, considered to be the person that would go if they were on the block together. I think that's a good thing for Jed. Third good thing about Jed is that he seems like he will be very good in competition. So even if he does go up on the block, I think there's a decent chance he would win that veto, take himself down. I think Jed is probably the biggest endgame threat in the house. And the fact that he's not the number one target on that side is good for him. But again, despite all of that, he could be leaving as early as next week. I think there are at least five people in the game that will be trying to win HOH and trying to put him on the block next to Ty. If Ty wins the veto, Jed's in trouble. If neither of them win the veto, he could still be in trouble. And for that reason, I gave Jed a five on top of lots of other reasons about all the strategic stuff that he's been doing this week that I disagree with that you've heard me talk plenty about. Amon, what do you think? Yeah.
I don't have much more to contribute other than what you all have already said. I also gave Jed a five. I do think that he is definitely not the brains of the operation. I think Ty is definitely a little bit more strategically inclined than he is, which is the reason why Ty is a bigger threat. But I also think that Ty is just, I think that Ty is just a smidge more likable than Jed. Not saying that Jed is unlikable. I think Jed's just likable fine. But I think that people just enjoy Ty a little bit more than they enjoy Jed. And I think that Jed definitely has the capacity to sort of like destroy things if he doesn't get his way more so than Ty. Whereas Ty will be like very, understanding of someone else's situation in their predicament. We don't really get that same kind of energy. So those bubble bath talks that they have, I think really work well for him. He should continue to have those because I think that Ty is a good influence on him. But yeah, I also gave him a 5 because I think that he's kind of like really middle of the road right now. He's in the midst of having a good week. So I was almost tempted to give him a 6. But the fact that they are even questioning whether or not they want to get rid of Kyle is like, why? What are you doing? You try and you can never have too much of a good thing. It's just like, God damn it. So a 5 it shall be. As it is written, it shall be done.
All right. Well, we are all on the same page about Jed. The audience also gave Jed a 5. So
nice.
That's where we all stand on Jed. Melissa, what are your thoughts on Kiefer?
You know, with Kiefer, I feel better about Kiefer this week than I did last week. I mean, clearly I gave him a 2 last week. I was not happy with, especially with the way that he was, you know, it seemed like he had kind of thrown in the towel. And I know that like partially that was an act, but at the same time, you know, when he's saying it to Kyle and Roe and other people in the house, it's just, it gives the impression that you don't want to be there. It gives the impression that you're willing to just like go out the door, no problem. And, you know, you're not cut out for this game and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I just hate that. Even if it's a strategy, I don't like it. So I wasn't a fan of him last week. He won HOH this week, which is obviously good for his game. And I think he's doing a good job with his HOH. I mean, relatively. I kind of wish it was more solidified with the Sunsetters and everything like that. But I think overall, he got some information from people. He got people to throw other people under the bus and then use that against them. He's got, you know, yeah, sure, he doesn't have Kyle and Roe up at the end of the week, but, you know, he's got one from each pair. I think he made the right decision. You know, I've seen some people say he should have targeted the Sunsetters. I don't think that's a good move for him at this point. I think that that doesn't make any sense. So I think he's done well. Do I see him doing well in the future and you know, being a really great strategic mind? I don't know. But at least this week, I do feel like he's in a better spot. I wish that the other members of the Sunsetters were as loyal to him as he seems to be to them. But you know, we'll just have to see. So I was at a 2. Now I'm going to give him a 4.
All right, Aman, what do you think?
I'm definitely giving him a little higher than that because I feel like Kiefer, yes, what you can say what you will about his personality or whatever. Maybe you're not really vibing with Keef, but I think that he's done a good job with his HOH. I think that he has sort of set himself up going forward. Tina and Tara would never come for him. Also, though, Tina and Tara would probably never really go for an HOH right now. So can they really offer you that much protection? Jed, Ty, Beth, they're not coming for him. He smoothed things over with Victoria. I believe that Victoria probably would not come for him if she were to get HOH, and she's just crazy enough to try and get HOH again. So that is a concern. Rohan is a concern. Rohan is definitely a concern. If Rohan wins HOH, Kiefer is definitely going up because at this point, baby, now we got bad blood. It's just not going to be a thing, right? But that's one person out of all of those people. I mean, there's a potential that Austin could, you know, try and do something, but she doesn't even really want to win HOH, so that's probably not going to be a thing. Also, Braden, like I said, sitting pretty. So there's really only one person that I'm that concerned with putting Kiefer up. So for that reason alone, and I think that he's just a little bit more strategically inclined than the rest of the Sunsetters, which isn't a high bar, but for that reason alone, I went ahead and gave Kiefer a... I went ahead and gave Kiefer a 6.
A 6 for Kiefer. Mm-hmm. I'm liking this dynamic. Aman's got some high ratings here tonight. Let me give you the audience rating before I go. The audience gave Kiefer, they were right in the middle of Aman and Melissa. They gave Kiefer a 5.
That's where I'm doing. I couldn't draw out the suspense. I'm in the middle here as well. I like how Kiefer has been the best HOH thus far, in my opinion. And the bar is very low. I've been saying all week, I think he is probably the most strategically sound player in the house right now. However, it's the execution that matters, and it's the execution that he's failing at, and being strategically sound in this house is not getting him very far. He needs to handle his social relationships better, in my opinion. He has way too many people coming for him. Austin coming for him, Braden coming for him, Ro coming for him. That's not great. He did just take a shot at them, and that's obviously that means that there's a chance they're going to come for him, but nobody should be coming for Kiefer when Jed, Ty, and Beth are sitting right there, right? Shouldn't be happening. His relationship with Tina and Tara is probably the most valuable thing he has in the game, and I don't know that he values that relationship as much as he should. He seems to be a little too loyal to Ty, Jed, and Beth of it all. I do not want him to ride into that sunset. I don't think that's a good sunset for him. He should ride into the pre-90s. Doesn't work as well. But that's a much better end game for him. I think he has a much better chance of beating Tara and Tina in end game competitions. I think they're like on a more similar level in terms of like their age. Trying to go up against the beasts that are Jed and Ty in physical competitions is going to be a disaster. Now, Tara and Tina are also very fit, but they're not Jed and Ty, right? On top of that, Jed, at the very least, is very good with the mental comps. He's got his own study guide going on. Ty's got his own study guide going on. Tina and Tara, they talk about days occasionally, but they are not on the same level competitively as the bed and Jed and Ty trio, right? If you're in the end game, you want to be in that end game with Tara and Tina much more so than Jed, Ty, and Beth. And I'm just not hearing that enough from Kiefer. Now, he could end up in that spot, but he has been a little bit too careless with the lives of Tina and Tara in this game for me to really feel like that's his game plan. He's protecting Ty, Jed, and Beth at all costs, and he's kind of being like, it would be nice to protect Tina and Tara. And that's not the right path, and it's frustrating that he continues to go in that route, right? So I think that Kiefer has potential. I think that he can do well in this game. I think that, like many people, he needs to rely on certain outcomes for that to happen. I think the best thing for his game would be for somebody like Ty or Jed to go out next week and then continue on the path that he's continuing on. But for right now, he's in a little too much danger next week, and his path to the end is a little too wrong. And so it's a 5 for last week. I gave him a 3, and I said if he wasn't on the block, I'd be giving him a 4. Right now, I'm giving him a 5. If he wasn't an HOH and a potential target for next week, I might be giving him a 6, but it's a 5 right now. It could go up if he continues to be as strategically somewhat sound. Again, low bar, but as he is right now. So that's where I stand on Kiefer. All right, let's talk about Kyle. Kyle, the Kai-tanic, as he is being called, as many people took a risk on Kyle, because if things had gone well for Kyle, if the oddballs had won, Kyle would be riding high right now. But instead, he's riding low. Amon, what are your thoughts?
2 can be as bad as 1. And in this case, 2 is as bad as 1, because I gave him a 1. He's up out of here. I mean, it just is
It just is what it is.
I think there's
going to be a flip? You don't think there's any chance?
I don't think so. I mean, it will be exciting. It really will be exciting. And I think that it'll be entertained. I really do think that. I think that we're going to continue to see this conversation. But I think ultimately what Taryn said before is what's going to happen. So maybe I should give him a 2 by the virtue of the flip maybe being a thing. But I feel like it's not really because of Kyle. It's because of everybody else. It's not like he's not really doing anything to spark this flip. So can I really credit that to him? So, I mean, he's up out of here. So, sorry,
One.
Amon out here crushing dreams.
Yeah, people are devastated. Oh, man.
Well, I mean, he's out of the game. Like, I just...
All right. Well, let me counter with a Kyle 3, because that's where I stand on Kyle. I think that with this potential flip talk in the works, there is still a chance that he could stay. I also think that Kyle is still one of the better strategic players in the house. And if he were to stay, I think that he would have the ability to rebound here. I personally usually go for a one when I feel like there's zero chance and they've done it to themselves. And a two, if I feel like there's basically no chance, but it's not really their fault. But there's not much of a chance that they can bounce back. I do think Kyle can bounce back from this if he survives, but the chances of him surviving are still fairly low. So my score on him is also going to be still fairly low. But it is a three here for Kyle, because it could have been a two, but this flip talk definitely helped push it up to a three for me. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I thought it was funny because we had just gotten through talking in the chat about how Amon is the Paula Abdul of this panel because he was giving out high ratings left and right. And now look at us. It was literally Amon is Paula, Taryn is Simon, because, you know, he's harsh. But when he gives, you know, a compliment or a good rating, you're like, oh, wow, must be really good. And for me, I'm Randy because I have all the dogs and I have the dog pound. So, you know, it all worked out until now, and Amon ruined it. But I don't know if Paula Abdul would do this, although the singing, she would do that. Yeah, so I see where you're coming from, Amon. My thought is that, like, I do think that there is a potential for a flip to follow through. I do think there's a chance that he stays. So I'm not totally ready to count him out just yet. But, you know, I don't know. It really could go either way. And so, you know, I have to give him a three just because I gave Austin a three. And so I'm going to give Kyle a three because I don't know where it's going to land this week. So.
All right.
You know, well, look, I think that that's fair. I just, you know, I think I just have a bit of a different philosophy. Like, if you if you're the one that's on the way out the door, I'm like, oh, OK, well, I'm just ready to get rid of you. So that is kind of
you're like, bye.
That's just kind of where I'm at with it. But I mean, I do concede that there's definitely a possibility. I just don't think it's going to pan out.
There you go. And that's what we're here for. We're here for Amon has nothing to apologize for. He's got his opinions and and they take the form of ratings. There you go.
No, I love when people go and give crazy ratings. I mean, look at me. Everyone hated my Enzo rating and I stand by it to this day. So, you know, it happens. You know, those are fun. It spices it up. It keeps it interesting. Otherwise, what? We're all the same rating every week? No.
Yeah, yeah. We thought Victoria was spicy, but...
grab a tall glass of milk, Canada.
Amon is here.
Yes. We've got Amon.
I'm coming through.
All right. You know, I missed the opportunity to go. All right, Kyle shareholders.
First of all, this is not a good talk, unfortunately.
Yeah.
This is not good for you.
The audience gave Kyle a three. So he will, I think, squeeze out a two here, which I think is still pretty fair. But definitely going to be a blow for anyone that went in on Kyle. All right.
Sorry.
So let's talk about Roe. Let's talk about Roe. Oh, wait, sorry. No, he's a three overall.
No. Bad wow. Math.
Sorry about that.
Okay, well. I don't even try to do the math.
The one time I don't wait to be sure, I was like a one and then three threes. I think it's the odd because it rounds up. So it's the opposite when it's the other direction. All right. So let's talk about Roe. Let's talk about Roe. Roe here is... in an interesting position. He survives the block this week. He won a veto and he will probably be in this house without Kyle. Now, I think that's kind of a good thing. I mean, it's not a good thing for him. It's good that he survived Kyle, obviously, because if he doesn't survive Kyle, then he's not in the game at all. Losing Kyle is definitely a hit to his game. But He should have an opportunity like Brayden to blend back in after this. He should have that opportunity. The problem is that even though I think he's probably a better strategic player than Brayden, socially, he has not been able to match up. And he is in good with Austin and Brayden, but beyond that, he doesn't have, I think, enough social ties to be able to blend in like Brayden might be able to. And because of that, I think he will remain a target in the game, even after Kyle goes. And I think that is a rough position to be in for Roe. Austin will be a target. I think Roe is something like a backup target potentially. There's always Vic, there's always Tina and Tara, but it's just hard to see the path in front of Roe right now. He needs to survive not only Kyle leaving, but maybe Austin leaving the following week. Maybe his side wins HOH and maybe he's able to reintegrate himself in that sense. But right now, it's just I not only don't see the path, but I don't see the skills that he needs to be able to traverse forward in this game. I give Roe a four. Don't love his position. Amon, where are you?
I'm a little higher. I think, yeah. So, I mean, it really feels like Roe is like really treading water at this point. It's just like he's constantly in a state of like, am I going to be on the block this week? All right, I'm safe. Well, what about next week? Okay, I'm safe. But what about next week? Now I got to save myself with it. It's just not, he can't catch his footing. And now he's having to go to Victoria as his number one of all people. Victoria, are you sure that's what you want? Like, that's going to be crazy for you. So I'm not that crazy about his prospects, but I still do think, like, I just keep thinking about what we saw from him in the preseason and how he wanted to be this devious character and wanted to sort of, you know, be the one that starts rumors. And since he's been in such a really weird predicament this entire time, he really hasn't had a lot of chance to really spread his wings that much because he's had to worry about keeping himself safe. I really just want to see what Rohan looks like when he doesn't have to fend for himself so much. Cause I still feel like there's a lot of potential there. And I think that there is room for him to grow. So I think he's sort of like middle of the pack. I think that he's sort of like on the same level as Jed, except I think he's a little smarter than Jed. So now I'm kind of, I was going to give him a six, but I think I'm going to go ahead and just give him a five. That's right. That with him.
Well, if it makes you feel better, the audience is even lower. The audience gave him a four. The audience was with me on this one, actually. Okay. Melissa, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my four. I think that strategically, he's not terrible, but I think that he has problems connecting with people. And I think that, so for example, if the tables had turned and Kyle had won veto and Roe was going out the door, I feel like I would feel more strongly about Kyle's prospects moving forward because I feel like he could get in with other members, other people, you know, other groups. And even though he was losing his number one ally, I think that he would still be okay moving forward. With Roe, on the other hand, I think number one, he's losing his best ally possibly this week in Kyle. And number two, him being alone doesn't instill in me so much confidence that he's going to be able to like use that to his advantage and integrate into another group or like fall behind and, you know, kind of get bent, like fade into the background or whatever. I just don't really see him doing that. I don't know if he has the ability to do that. So I have to see. I mean, we have to see. We don't know. But at this point, I haven't really seen it. And I think also, you know, the way that he was trying, like it was really apparent the difference between him and Kyle when they were talking to Victoria and trying to like apologize and mend fences and stuff. It was very apparent that like Kyle knew how to talk to Victoria in particular and Ro just did not. And it does kind of seem that way for other people as well. It kind of seems like Kyle is like the more appeal to emotions kind of thing. And Rose, the more like, I'm the logical one. But it mm-hmm. seems like that's not really clicking with people. People want the emotional appeal. They don't necessarily want to just be talked at like this is the logical way to do it. So I don't know if he could really, if he could do it on his own. I thought Kyle was a better player than Rose. So, you know, we'll have to see. But at this point, he stays at a four.
Yeah. And that's my concern is that like Ro had an entire week last week to that where he was in power. Basically, he was completely safe. The Sunsetters were on the ropes. And when he had all of those advantages, he used them to piss off the other side so much that he is now on the block or was on the block because of how he interacted with Kiefer, where Kiefer should have been. The connection that he had, that he was continuing to develop with Kiefer, and like you know, when Tina tells him that Kiefer is still saying his name, instead of going up to him with Kyle and interrogating him and then apologizing poorly afterward, go to Kiefer and just continue to try. It's don't you guys watch The Circle? Even when you hate someone, just you know, suck up.
I had that same thought. It felt very like. Okay, well, this isn't going to go anywhere. It's like, come on, no, like, to pull on heartstrings, y'all. Like, that works. This is a very emotional game, and people are susceptible to that kind of stuff. I think that there's a world where Rohan can really appeal to Kiefer more, but he just didn't really seem to be willing to do it. It's the same thing with LaToya. Like, you really have to be willing to go there with certain players. And I feel like that if everybody did that, this house would be even more fluid than it already is. So yeah, I have the exact same thought.
All right. So let's move on to Tara. Let's talk about Tara. And I'll tell you that the audience is at a five with Tara, which is an interesting place to be. Amon, what do you think about Tara?
Who? Look, what is she doing? What is her plan besides going to the end with Kiefer and Tina? She hates Jed, we know that much. She's busy spilling all of her secrets to Ty, we know that much. Do people really like Tara? I don't really think so. Would she ever win a jury vote? I don't think so. I'm not really feeling it from Tara. I just don't really know what she's doing. I think that she's extremely middle of the road. I'm gonna give Tara a four. I'm not feeling it. I'm just not.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like she climbed out of where she had been in the previous week last week, right? She was in a much better spot with Tina last week. I felt good about that. I felt like she was willing to get in there and mix it up strategically. And now I have seen how she handles being in a better spot, and she's terrible at it. She did nothing to earn the spot, and she is doing nothing with the spot. And so I am dropping her down to a four. It is not good what I'm seeing from Tara. I think that she should be in one of the best positions in the house, and she's actively sabotaging it all the time. So she should be a six, but she's a four. And I could see her leaving as early as next week, and I definitely don't see a path for her to win this game. Who does she sit next to that she beats? Maybe Vic? Depending, right? Even then, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that's a stretch. Yeah.
I think it's maybe her best shot at this point, but like, geez. So that's where I'm at with Tara. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with what you guys are saying. However, I'm not going to go down that far. I'm going to give her a five. So she's going from a six to a five. Because I do think that there are some strategically questionable things that she's doing this week. I think number one, I think it's a bad call for her and Tina to want Austin. So I just think that they're making a bad move in that regard. It doesn't make sense for them to push for that. So I don't like that. And number two, you know, I don't love the idea that she's, you know, she seems to not be able to control who she says what to and how much she talks. And I feel like she reveals things. And that's not good. I mean, Big Brother's all about, you know, getting information, listening, and then holding your cards, you know, tight to your chest and using it later. And I don't know if she has that ability. It seems she's even kind of sabotaging Tina in some ways. And that concerns me because Tina's her biggest ally. And if Tina then recognizes like, hey, she's a liability, she could just drop her. So I am worried moving forward. We'll see how it goes. Maybe things turn around next week, but I don't have the faith that I necessarily felt like I was starting to get last week. So yeah, it's a 5.
All right. So there we go. A 5 for Tara. So some of what I'm seeing on the feeds right now is that apparently Ro has said to the cameras, he has heard about this potential flip, and he's kind of like, I don't know if I want it to flip. I don't know if I want Kyle to stay. Let's go ahead and have a wait and let's see on this one, just because I don't know exactly what was said, but I actually don't like that from Ro at all. I have no idea what he's thinking. He probably feels like, because Ro is still under the assumption that he was the target this week and that he only escaped by winning the veto, even though Kyle was the target this week. So I don't think he realizes that Kyle is his shield. He probably thinks that Kyle is dragging him down.
And Kyle's his number one ally.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like with Brayden and Austin, it's a little different because it's like, I don't know. I feel like Brayden can do stuff on its own, but I feel like with Kyle and Ro, it's like, I mean, number one, that's why Ty and Jed wanted to work with them, is because it's two strong guys. Let's have the two strong guys that kind of create a truce. But there's no real truce there if it's one versus two. It's like, you don't really need that truce anymore. You're just a single person. I just feel like, yeah, I don't like that so much.
I mean, it's definitely a little counterintuitive, but I feel like, I mean, I kind of like it because if he feels like he's hit a wall, right, where he doesn't really think that keeping, like, he doesn't think that keeping Kyle is even going to be an option. Like, I mean, why not sort of ingratiate yourself with the people that want you to be ingratiated with them? Like, if you are going to lose Kyle, then yeah, I mean, you can at least, at the very least, make Jed and Ty think that, like, it's like, yeah, I'm good with leaving Kyle behind. You see, I'm game. So, I mean,
but if you're saying it to yourself,
like, yeah, he is saying it to himself.
It's a little different than like, yeah, you guys do what you want to do. I'll be happy with whatever you do. It's like him saying to himself in a room, like, yeah, maybe my best ally should leave. It's like, I don't. It seems weird.
It's a little concerning. It is, but I'm not completely. I want to see more. I'll definitely be watching some more feeds tonight.
All right.
We shall see.
Kyle is lucky that we got to him before I heard that even Ro doesn't want him to stay. Yeah. Because
see, that one, I tell you, that one
clinging to right that three. Clinging to it.
Oh, he was right all along.
All right. Let's talk about Tina. Oh man, Tina is such an interesting person to look at here. Tina for me is somebody that I was excited about when the game started, and she has just consistently fallen down in my estimation in terms of her own strategic ability. I think that she is in one of the better positions in the house. For that reason, I will be giving her a 6 up there with some of the other safer people in the house, but I still just don't have a lot of faith in her strategic ability. In particular, it's the fact that she wants Kyle to stay. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. The fact that she continues to not play the field well enough. Like, Kiefer is trying to get her in with Ty and Jed, but she is doing none of that work on her own. She is barely talking to them, and she needs to be, because these guys are inches away from targeting her. The only reason they're going after Austin right now is because Austin is worse than Tina, not because Tina's doing anything right. And so I'm very frustrated by the inactivity of Tina and how she's playing the game. On top of that, she's got Tara next to her, consistently dragging her down.
Yes.
And so I feel like there's a lot going wrong here. There's a lot of potential danger that Tina could find herself in. And I'm also looking at, like, what is her end game set up? She's not doing enough work to make sure that the end game is set up well enough for her. She's just kind of leaving it up to chance. And I don't like that gameplay. And I think that she will continue to slide downhill if she doesn't start crawling her way up. I said at the beginning of the game, when I was more confident in her ability, that hopefully she is a capable enough player to fight her way through this game, because it will be a fight for her. She has an uphill, you know, battle to fight, to climb, whatever. And she hasn't been fighting it. And so I'm just consistently disappointed in her performance strategically, but she is still one of the safer people in the house. I just don't think she's actively maintaining that. For me, it's a six still. I gave her a six last week and I was the lowest person on her last week. It's still a six, but honestly, she's pushing it. She's pushing it.
She's on the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I gave her a six. I'm giving her a six as well. For me, that's a step down because, yeah, same thing. I am a little concerned. I mean, I still think she's one of the better positions in the house. I still think she's one of the more strategic people in the house. But she's not showing as much promise as we thought. And I do think that, you know, like I said, with Tara, I am concerned that they're trying to make this flip happen when it doesn't seem to be in their best interest. So I'm a little concerned about her, but, you know, I still think she's in a good enough place that she's clearly one of the higher ranked people on my list. So we'll just see where it goes from here.
All right, come on.
Well, I gave Tina a seven. Yeah, I think that Tina is, I mean, she's still in a really great spot, like the both of you have just said. I gave her a seven because some of the things that I talked about with Brayden, I still kind of apply to Tina. Now, yes, she's definitely in some rough patches with Ty and Jed because they're starting to catch on to they've been catching on to the fact that Tina is not as down for them as they once believed, especially since LaToya has left. But I still don't think that anybody is coming for Tina's head as of right now. And I still think that she has the wherewithal to understand other players' intentions and how she can try to maneuver that. Tara is a problem. Ditch her. Get rid of her. She's, or at the very least, you need to talk some sense into her because she is not a good influence on you. The TNT will explode if Tara is around for much longer. So, I still think that Tina has the potential. I think that she's smart. I think that she can see when her game is beginning to go down a path where it shouldn't be. And so I have much more confidence in her being able to dig herself out of a hole more so than almost anybody else. So I'm going to go ahead and give her a seven.
All right. Yeah. I think that Tara drags her down, but at the same time, Tara is probably a shield in front of Tina. Although yeah. The thing I would be concerned about with Tina is that, a Kyle Rowe situation happens where if they did end up on the block together, people would be like, Tina's more dangerous though. You know, like Tara's just such a mess, and a big target. Maybe we take the opportunity to take out Tina. I could see that happening. But I do think that Tina is one of the safer people in the house. So, yeah, she did get the six from me. So the audience did give Tina the highest rating of the night, but it was still a six. It was still a six. Mm-hmm. It was the highest six, but it was still a six here from the audience. And audience, you and I, same page. Nothing higher than a six. We got this. She did fall pretty dramatically from last week's seven. Next up, let's talk about Ty. Ty here. And last week I was definitely the lowest on Ty here with a four. But we'll see where we go this week. Amon, let's start with you.
Seven.
Really?
Yes.
Whoa.
I was like, is this a joke? I can't tell.
I'm not joking. I think that, like, look, what I like to do when I'm making my ratings is talk about whether or not someone's about to get up out of here. I think there's a possibility that Ty could end up out of here. I think I'm not saying that it's a 0% chance, but I disagree with people when they say that they think that Ty will go before Jed. I think that Jed goes before Ty at any given circumstance. I think that Ty is just much better socially than Jed will ever be in this house. So if there ever is a time where they're on the block together, I think that Jed is up out of here. I like the fact also that this week he has been, as of today, he's been trying to distance himself from the thruppleness of it all, which to me means that he is beginning to think of the game past the Sunsetters. And so, like, look, once again, the bar isn't that high when it comes to the Sunsetters. And I think that we can still all agree that Kiefer is probably the most inclined strategically, but I don't think that Ty is that far behind. And I just like seeing what I see. I just like what I see from him, to be honest. And I think that there's still a good shot that he will get to the end of this season and possibly snag that win. So I feel really good about Ty. I do. I don't see him leaving right now. I don't.
All right, Melissa, where are you on Ty?
Not that high. I'm going to keep my five with Ty. I feel the same sort of analysis that I gave to Jed. I think that they're in a good position because they're part of a thruple. But, you know, I don't know if they have the strategic mind for the game moving forward. I have seen some troubling things from them. However, they are getting out someone from one of the other couples in the house, which is a good thing. They're breaking it up. However, if they end up being the last grouping of people and everyone else is broken up, you know, that automatically gives a reason for everyone else to target them. But, you know, they've got Kiefer on their side at this point, even though they're not really showing any loyalty to him. And I think he, you know, Ty especially is, I think, in a good place in terms of his social game. I think he's got good skills. But yeah, we'll just have to see where it goes. I feel about the same with him that I did last week. You know, so we'll see.
All right. Well, I'm still at a four for Ty. I don't think his position has improved significantly at all. I think that he's still a big
four.
Target.
I feel like four is way too harsh.
I feel like Jed is in a stronger position. I feel like both Jed and Beth are in stronger positions at the moment. I think that Ty is the one that is being left hung out to dry. I think that he is not necessarily as capable as Jed in the competitions. We saw Jed crush that that crossword. Jed has a better study guide, and I just have a lot more faith in Jed to have the sort of competition runs, and I think that people consistently talk about Ty being the bigger threat. I do agree, Aman. I think it's definitely possible that with Ty and Jed both on the block, they end up changing their target, but it's been pretty consistent for a long time that that Ty is the bigger target. So for me, Ty is down there at a four. I really don't think that this trio is going to last. I think one of them is going to take a hit at some point, and Ty seems like the person set up to take that hit. And until that changes, it's going to be hard for me to feel very good about his chances here. Again, position is king for me, and I don't like his position very much at the moment. On top of that, even his endgame prospects, I don't love anymore, because Beth is you know, gravitating toward Jed now. And you have Kiefer working toward this group. Kiefer is more, I think, with Ty at this point, which is kind of good for him. But
yeah, that's what I'd like, because I feel like, I mean, him getting out of this thruple and then letting Jed and Beth really do what they're going to do. I mean, there's rumors that they didn't do what they was going to do last night still. So I just feel like they're
still
becoming,
doing stuff.
I still feel like Ty is kind of like, I think that he's getting a little bored with that. And he's like, you know what? I didn't really come here for this kind of shenanigans and chicanery. So I just feel like if Beth and Jed are still out here doing what they're going to do, then those two will make the bigger targets of themselves. And Kiefer can probably sway the rest of them into being like, yeah, let's just keep. I think Ty is definitely a better asset. You know, I think that Ty has relatively been a consistent seven for me for the past 3 weeks. And that's just kind of where I'm at with it.
I'm at is that if next week the Sunsetters win another HOH and Jed and Beth are getting closer and closer and people start talking about Jed as the bigger target over Ty, then I will probably flip flop these or maybe at least bring Ty up to the five. If they really win another HOH and it seems like they're crushing it, maybe even higher. But for now, I'm just way too concerned. I really see Ty as one of the more likely people to go home next week. There are too many people, Austin, Brayden, Atina, Tara, Ro, all who would potentially put Ty up, maybe next to Kiefer. Are they really going to send Kiefer home over Ty? I don't think so. Ty maybe next to Jed. Will they send Ty home over Jed? Maybe, probably. I'm not sure. He's just too much in danger for me to be too high on his position at the moment. So,
all right.
That's me on Ty. The audience gave him a five. I gave him a five this week. That's where the audience stands on Ty. So, finally, we have Victoria. Let's talk about Victoria. Melissa, what are your thoughts on Vic?
You know, I actually feel better about her this week than I did last week. I think that it's tough because, you know, she's really all over the place. I feel like there's good and bad. It's like, you know, I did not love her HOH week last week. I didn't think she put herself, like, I don't think she set herself up for the next week well, which is kind of what you're supposed to do with an HOH. And then I also think, you know, that she's very all over the place all the time. And she also, you know, had created this oddball alliance, which, like, okay, that's a plus for her. Now she's in this alliance. Well, now she's out of the oddball alliance. Now she, like, is just by herself, kind of with the Sunsetters, but they're not really with her, and kind of with Kiefer, but she just put him on the block. And I don't know if he wants to work with her. I mean, I do think that she lucked out this week in that she could have been the easiest target going into this week. I think that absolutely, like, no one would have faulted anyone to just be like, look, she's causing too many issues. Let's just put her on the block and send her home. Like, and done deal, end of week. But instead, you know, look at her. She's not on the block. She's safe. She's possibly blending into the background, you know, moving forward, really depending on how this week goes. So, you know, I do think she's in a better place, honestly, than she was coming into the week. So, you know, I am going to go up to a four, but so it's better, but I still don't have any faith in her ability moving forward strategically. So that's why I really can't go any higher than that right now.
Yeah. That's where I am with Victoria as well. I have no more faith in her ability as a player necessarily, but her position definitely improved with the Kiefer HOH win. And she should be okay for the next week. But unlike some of the other safer players in the house, I do not see the longevity of her position. I think that she is temporarily safe and that literally anything can happen in Victoria's game at any given point. So with that in mind, I also went up from last week's three to a four. But you know, who knows where this goes? It's an interesting time in Victoria land. Aman, where are you? Oh boy.
10. No, I'm kidding. Okay. So, look, everybody knows that Victoria is not really my cup of tea. She's not. But there really is something to be said about the game that she is playing. Entertainment value aside, I just think that there is a certain level of mastery when you can have the week of an HOH that she had and still come out of it relatively unscathed. Yeah, there's the possibility that Jed could win and put you up, or maybe Ty could win and put you up, but I don't even know if Victoria really is the number one target for even them. I mean, Kiefer was put on the block by her, and Kiefer didn't put her up. And now I'm like, yeah, of course, Carb is throwing her under the bus because Carb is going to. But now Rohan is even today saying, looks like I can get rid of Kyle and then maybe I can chill with Victoria. So the fact that she is in this position to me really just reminds me of a certain lady that played Big Brother many, many moons ago, was crazy and chaotic, and then ended up winning the whole thing. And I don't think that it is out of the realm of possibility that Victoria cannot win Big Brother Canada 9. So as it stands right now, I'm going to give her a 6. I'm going to give her a 6. I think that Victoria, yes, the execution is really sloppy. It's really messy, but she knows what she wants. She knows what she's doing, and it can be a little bit overinflated, but I would much rather somebody be a little overinflated than a little understated and not really, you know, make anything that they want to happen happen. She got her target out. She had a messy HOH, and she is still here breathing with people that are didn't even want to, like, it's just baffling to me. We have seen stuff like this before, but it's just, that to me just says, I just feel like she might be here for a while. I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion that she's up out of here next week. I don't. So I'm going to give her a 6. And I'm sticking to it, baby.
Is it Rachel Riley? Is that the one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was very confused.
Look, I mean, if you guys watch the video that I do with Peridium, look, that was basically the argument that I made for her. And look, and I was really like struggling with it because I'm not a fan of Victoria. At least I wasn't a fan of Victoria last week. I'm just not. She just seems like someone that would piss me off. Like, I would want her, if I were in the house, she'd be gone. But I'm not in the house. They're in the house and she's still there. So, hey, that's kind of where I feel.
Well, I think where I would disagree is in the notion that the fact that she's safe this week means anything about her own game. Like most people in the house, I don't think she has any control over the direction of the game. And I think that it's really by the grace of Kiefer winning this HOH that she has not been put on the block or sent home. She had both sides of the house, basically everyone in the game, wanting her on the block and sent home this week. And if it hadn't been Kiefer there, who has incentive to keep her around because of his unique position in the game, she would have been in a lot of trouble this week. I don't think there's anything specifically that she did that saved her game this week beyond getting lucky with the HOH result. And on top of that, I don't think that she is so far below everyone else in terms of gameplay. They're all so bad at the game that it can go anywhere. But yeah,
This is on a curve.
I definitely do not want to credit Vic for the current position she's in. And it's even not that great of a position.
But you know what?
I would definitely not call it mastery.
I think that there is just a touch of it in there because it's like what she did last week was just crazy enough that I really believe that people are willing to be like, oh, we can get rid of her at any time. I didn't believe that last week. I thought there is no way
that she in no way intended for that to be the result.
I think that she did, though. I think that she really wanted this. Like, I think that I was the execution there to make that happen. No, but I think that's what she wanted. I mean, she was like, I'm going to be in the middle. I just want people to just not worry about me. This is the game that I'm playing. And that's kind of where she is. And yes, it was extremely lucky that she got Kiefer as an HOH because Kiefer was not coming for her. I completely agree with that. But with that being said, now that it's happened, is she still the main target for next week? Should she be?
That's such a low bar, Amon. She's not the main target. That's why she's a mastery at the game.
It is Big Brother Canada 9. It's Big Brother Canada 9. This is a different kind of season. It's got different kind of players. It's going to get different kind of ratings from me. And that's all I can
Look, say. If Victoria said to the cameras, the reason I'm acting this way is so that people will think that they can get me out at any time, and so that they think that they can use me. If she was saying things like what you were saying, I would agree with you. But what she's saying to the cameras is, I think take that's notes, what she means, everyone. Though. My amazing relationships with everyone in the house is how you play the middle. This is textbook best to ever play I masterfully sandbagged and gaslit these people into believing my obvious lies. Did you see what she did to Beth Amon? That was her master plan. And it went terribly wrong. And that was not how she intended for it to go.
I did see it, and it flopped. It really flopped. But even Beth is still talking to her ass. It's crazy, Taryn.
Of course,
I don't get it either.
Because why not? She's safe this week. Like I said about Kyle and Ro, even if you feel like you don't trust people and you don't care for them, you're still going to talk to them. You're still going to use them if you can, right?
Look, I don't get it either, Taryn, but I don't necessarily know if had any of those other players done that, would they be still sitting here? I don't know.
Yes,
I don't know.
Every single one of them, and probably in a better position.
I guess that's, you know what? I think it's just an X factor thing for me. And maybe some people won't like that sort of thing being considered for my rating. I to each their own. I get it. That's fine. But look, I just feel like that there is still a path to the end for her. I don't disagree. And I feel like if she gets there, we're going to be coming back and looking at what did she do week after week, and how did she survive? How did she avoid eviction?
Taryn's going to do a game review of her.
That's why I'm disagreeing right now, because I'm not saying
we're going to automatically romanticize it.
I think that people are already romanticizing the fact that she put herself in such a bad spot and then somehow survived this week, and thinking that means she's somehow a good player. That look, if she does somehow win, then she's going to be some master of the game.
Like you, Taryn, not everybody is going to want to talk to the cameras and then lay out every single minutia.
But she does talk to the cameras and lay out what she's doing.
But what my point is that yes, maybe she's not saying exactly what you want her to say, but I still think the things that she is saying,
I don't want her to say anything.
That's what she's doing. Like, you know what you said before about how she should have said, like, oh, if she had put out the plan, like, I am intentionally doing all of this so that I seem like a lesser target. Maybe she's not saying that specifically, but I think that with her saying, like, look, this is how you play the middle, I think that's what she means in her own crazy, kooky kind of way.
This is classic Melissa right now, where she's trying to put all of these extra strategic thoughts into somebody's mind who has never once expressed them.
But I'm not putting them in there. She's saying them anyway. No. Like, she's the one that's like, oh yeah, this is what I came here to do. And I believe her when she says that. I believe
Taryn,
her when she says that.
Don't bring me into this. Taryn.
It's working. Look.
I'm sitting silently playing the middle right now, and you're trying to bring me right in the center of this argument.
If Victoria's ass goes home next week or even the week after, then I will gladly come on here and I will eat this entire tube of chapstick. I will gladly do it. But I really feel like that there is, I think there's a path here. And I think that Victoria isn't the type of player to sit back and let things happen to her. I think that she is a player filled with agency. And if she gets to the end, it is going to be, yeah, maybe she catches a couple lucky breaks here and there, but that's also Big Brother. You get lucky from time to time. I think that there's still things for her to do. And I think that she knows that, and she can recognize what decisions are best for her at the time. I see that for her. So that's why I gave her the 6.
All right. Well, I want to be clear here, because I do think that Victoria can win this game. I do think that she is an active strategic player. I think that she is probably a more strategic player than many of the people in this house, to be quite honest.
Yeah,
I do not want. I know this is very fun. But I know what some people are going to interpret this as, because it was a debate. They're going to think that this means that I am like that I think Victoria is a one and that she's the worst player ever.
No, there's
a reason I gave her a four, which is not even close to the lowest score I've given tonight. And that's because I do think that she has a path forward in this game. I think that anybody in this game has a path forward in this game. I think that this game is so wide open that anybody can still win. I think the thing that I would counter is the claim that it is intentional and perhaps masterful from Victoria. She is stumbling around in an immensely entertaining way. And I think that can work for her. And in fact, I think that what I've said on the update before is that I think that she should lean into this, into this chaos. I think that it is the best way forward for her. I don't think she's capable of playing the kind of game that I think, Mon, you are kind of suggesting she might be, which is this sort of like intentional I'm doing this on purpose kind of strategy. I think she needs to lean into who she is, and play what she feels is right in the moment, because I think that's what fits best into this house.
She said that she came here to make big moves. She did a big move last week and she's getting away with it. And that to me is just, you know, I just think that sort of behavior has to be rewarded, because we don't see it often. So when it does happen, yeah, you're damn sure I'm going to be like, all right, girl, you did it. I mean, I'm not really feeling you right now, but hey, I can't be game recognized game. I can't be mad at the game. I just can't. Like, I just think that she had a plan last week. She had a few messy things that I felt like were extremely unnecessary. But all that aside, I think at the core of it all, she got a big player, a big threat out of this game, and she's getting away with it. She is. It's like, how to get away with murder? Viola Davis up in here.
I agree that those facts are true. I think the steps in between those two facts are where I definitely would disagree. That's where I would stand. I'm nothing but consistent in terms of the sort of results oriented way of thinking in that regard. But there we go. That is Victoria from Amon. I can tell you that the audience. I can say that the audience did in fact agree with my rating at the very least here. They gave Victoria a four this week.
Whatever. Y'all just can't see it. It's fine.
Well, I'm excited to see where she goes. I think she brings excitement to the game, and I'm interested to see if next week, if it all comes back around and it was just like Kiefer won HOH and he was the one person who wasn't going to put her up. But now that it's the next week and someone else is HOH, bye Victoria. Like, I don't know. I'm hopeful that that's not the case, because I would like her to stick around. But yeah, you know, you never know.
You never know. That's where we stand here for Victoria. An interesting position. I honestly I've been saying this. I think that Victoria, I hope that she lasts as long as possible, because she, I think, consistently is one of the few people in this cast that can continue to sort of make things a little bit more exciting than the more straightforward back and forth here. But we'll see where this goes for that. So this is what we have for the week. Here are the Stockwatch ratings. I can quickly check here to see if the leaderboard has been updated. Yes, it has. All right, let's check on the leaderboard here and see where things have gone. This is what we have. Hopefully you guys can see this and it's not too small. Up in first place, Max Power. Hold on. This is not reloaded. Max Power. There it is.
It's a good thing he's still there.
Yeah. Taryn.
In on Brayden.
Is that you, Taryn? I can't really read it.
It is me. It is me. We have.
Make it bigger.
It's okay. Okay. We'll make it bigger here.
And Amon so and I are like going right up to the screen.
Oh, Kirsten.
Whoa.
Kirsten, who has gone in on Brayden both weeks, is in third place.
Wow.
So you're welcome, you Kirsten.
Amon definitely helping Kirsten out.
Good job.
Amon also helping me out as I also went in on Brayden this week.
Oh my God.
So I'm here tied for sixth place. And that's where we've gone here. We have Noah here who did well in Big Brother Canada 8. And yeah, here's Justin Powell, second place finisher in season 21. And we continue to go down. That's about
You're going to have 100. To scroll a lot further to get to me. You can't, I don't think it'll just be a quick little scroll down there.
Melissa, still the worst Melissa on the field.
I'm went so bad
in on Austin, Tara, and a little bit of Brayden. So, you almost got there.
It's so bad that I had forgotten that I went in on Tara, and I thought I went in on Austin and Brayden, and I was like, oh, okay, like, this is not going to be that bad for me. And then, yeah, I forgot what I had done. I always have to make the worst decisions. At least I had a little bit of Brayden in there.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
look, you know what? Yeah. You get your stimulus from the government. You get your stimulus from me as well. Congratulations.
Yeah, I get my stimulus from Amon, my stock stimulus. Oh, man, I'm still the worst Melissa. That's so sad.
It happens. all right. Well, Amon is not participating, so we will not check Amon.
I just have $200 sitting in my account.
All right, so that's the leaderboard here for now. Amon, thank you for the boost.
At least it can't be said that I like fixed the ratings in any way. It's very clear that I am not fixing the ratings, and I'm not rating based on my stock because I don't remember who I bought each week. And you know, yeah. Unless this is all a big ruse and I'm just like pretending to be really bad. So that way, like eventually I'm going to come around, but I don't think I have it in. It's a long con that like eventually one season, like five seasons from now, I'll just actually be really good and I'll show my true colors.
All right.
Maybe.
Well, I asked the audience to rate the episodes of the show this week. Last week they were a 7, this week a 6.6. The feeds last week were given an 8.5, this week a 6.5, significant downgrade there, but still above average. And then how would you rate the season as a whole so far? Last week was 8.2, this week was 7.6. So, heading in the wrong direction, but, that's what happens, I believe, when you don't have Victoria captaining your ship. I asked the audience to rank the players from their favorite to their least favorite. Do you guys have a guess at who is number one?
Favorite?
Yes.
Ooh. I feel like it's like around Ty and Austin and Brayden.
That's maybe really Austin? Hard. I don't know.
Maybe Ty? I don't know.
Tina?
Tina is correct. Tina is the number one player on the board. Number two.
Ty?
Brayden?
I said Brayden at the same time as you.
I think I said it first, actually.
I said it at the same time.
I think I went brrr. I think you went Bray.
I think it was more of a
I think I definitely got the brr out of there.
I had the definite brr, and then it was just like, you know, came around. So, yeah, that was all me.
We'll have to check the tapes on this one.
we'll check the tapes and we'll slow-mo it.
Third place.
Ty.
Ty, correct. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Man, I'm so good at this.
all right. So Victoria has fallen to fourth, then Austin, then Jed, Kiefer, Kyle, Roe, and then bottom two, Tara and Beth. Who's on the bottom?
Tara.
Beth. I think Beth's on the bottom. I feel like people really don't like Beth right now.
Amon's going to take that one. It's Beth at the bottom. Of the list.
Well, I only know what people like. I don't know what people dislike. That's really what it is.
All right. I asked who the best person for Kiefer was. Who is the best target for Kiefer this week? And the majority, or at least a plurality of the audience, agrees that Kyle is the right person to have targeted. With the other, with another 22% saying Roe in second place, Austin in third place. So those three top three targets. So it seems like Kiefer is doing what the audience agrees is best for his game. I asked the audience, who do you want to be evicted this week? And with 60% of the vote, Kyle. You guys would like for Kyle to be evicted. I was a little surprised about that.
Had you given them the option to say Roe as well? Like, was this like
just Kyle or Austin?
I just wasn't sure if this was like after veto. Interesting.
I asked Team Sunsetters or Team Oddballs? Last week when I asked this question, it was 64% Oddball, 65% Sunsetter. And this week, it's a little bit closer. It's 58% Oddball, 41% Sunsetter. So the tides have turned a little bit, but people are still mostly anti-Sunsetter, which is strange considering the top three favorite players at this point
are in there. Yeah, interesting.
That's weird.
I guess, you know, Tina and Brayden, I guess, are not technically, I would guess you'd more classify them as Oddballs. So then, you know, then you got Ty. I guess you only have Ty there as a Sunsetter representative.
I guess the parts are greater than the sum when it comes to the Sunsetters. We just like them all individually.
And then I asked, who would you like to win the HOH next week? And with a big lead here, Rohan. 33% would like Rohan to win the next HOH, followed by Brayden, which is interesting.
I support a Rohan HOH.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a good, interesting week. It'd be... I mean, as we all know, I like when the power switches from one side to the next. And so I think, you know, Amon, you had tweeted out, you know, the pendulum switches when Kiefer won HOH. And I totally agree with that. I think that that's what you want to see. You want to see the switch. And so I am hopeful that next week we get someone from the Oddball side to kind of keep it interesting.
I mean, Rohan has been at the top of the who do you want to win HOH next week all 3 weeks that I've asked this question. He just barely got beat out by Kyle last week, but he was a very, very close second place. He was a far and away first place in the first week and a far and away first place this week as well. So people really just want to see Roe win an HOH. He's just...
What, are you kidding me? I'm the most calm, cool, and collected person in this house.
They want that energy.
I think they want to see the Rohan from the intro videos and everything come out. And so I think people are
he's just
really the
a crumpled shadow of that intro.
A shell of his intro.
All right. Well, that's about what we have for you guys this week for the roundtable. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on what happened today on the feeds. Tomorrow night, we're going to have Anthony Douglas in the podcast to talk about his thoughts on the show so far. But before we get to anything else, any final thoughts, Melissa? Any final thoughts on the week?
You know, this week has been a bit dull, and I think that's because last week was so exciting that it kind of is a letdown. I think that this week was necessary in order to kind of open it up a bit more for next week. So I am excited to see where it goes. This week is kind of like let's just get this week over with and move on. But, you know, we'll have to see. Not every week can be a Victoria HOH.
That's very true. Amon, any final thoughts?
You know, I echo Melissa. I mean, it's an ebb and flow, right? And I'd rather it be a continuous ebb and flow throughout the entire season than, you know, it ebbs or it flows in the beginning and then ebbs all the way at the end. So, you know, I'm really having a good time with this season and I'm excited to watch more.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us again tomorrow night. Anthony, Thursday, we'll have an eviction recap. So look out for all of that. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Been playing some Fall Guys, paying attention to the feeds, playing some Among Us on the weekends, having some fun. Chatting with all of you. If you ever have any questions for me, that's a great place to go to ask them. So you can check that out. Melissa, where can people find you?
They can find me on all social media. It's Melissa with 3 A's. All over the place.
There you go. Amon, how about you?
Can follow me at Amon Advin on Twitter and on Instagram, also on Twitch. And make sure if you're a Glee fan, we still have our podcast, me and Matt, over at the Choir Room. I'm also on Bryce's Purple Pants podcast bi-weekly, so make sure you're checking that out as well. And of course, as always, the Drag Race podcast is in full swing of this never-ending season. So check that out.
All right. Okay. Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. And we will see you all next time.